So guys, I'll just be straight up with you. One of my pushbacks
Pet peeves.
in the counseling field is how it is very female oriented. And we wonder why guys don't like to go to counseling. And you threw out a term,
I think it had the word comfort in
is
it or
like
something.
comfort, like you got to get to your comfort place or whatever. And I looked after the show, I looked at Linda, I said, how do you think most men would respond if I said, hey, you got to get to your comfort place? And so the point being, guys, is that, you know, we all have challenges and we all have emotions. A lot of times people say men don't have emotions. No, we all do. We all do. But we have to, they have to connect with us. We have to make sense of why we do these things. And when we cover things in all pink, in terms of how we approach men right away just go, this is weird. I don't get it. And so, so rather than trying to call for a comfort place or a comfort zone or whatever, I would be like, dude, it's time for a huddle.
You must.
Hey, it's time to get to home base. It's time to, you know, take a time out. You're like, I gotta speak to men. And men go, oh yeah, now I gotcha. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200.
Welcome to the Rock Solid Families Podcast. I am Linda Hutchinson here with alongside my husband, Merle. How are you, honey?
I am fantastic. Today,
fantastic.
We are talking my language today,
hon. What do you mean talking your language?
Remember last week? It was actually after the show last week. You're shaking your head like
because,
you just don't get me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, what do you mean talking your language?
So guys, I'll just be straight up with you. One of my pushbacks
pet peeves
in the counseling field is how it is very female oriented. And we wonder why guys don't like to go to counseling. And you threw out a term.
I think it had the word comfort in
is
it or
like
something.
comfort, like you got to get to your comfort place or whatever. And I looked after the show, I looked at Linda, I said, how do you think most men would respond if I said, hey, you got to get to your comfort place? And so the point being, guys, is that, you know, we all have challenges and we all have emotions. A lot of times people say men don't have emotions. No, we all do. We all do. But we have to, they have to connect with us. We have to make sense of why we do these things. And when we cover things in all pink, in terms of how we approach men right away just go, this is weird. I don't get it. And so, so rather than trying to call for a comfort place or a comfort zone or whatever, I would be like, dude, it's time for a huddle.
You must.
Hey, it's time to get to home base. It's time to, you know, take a time out. You're like, I got to speak to men. Men go, oh yeah, now I gotcha.
You must have been jacked up on protein shake or something last week because you were having that same conversation with our planning team for Synergy and our teenagers and reaching them with the right verbiage and stuff. And I get it. You're right. It is so feminized or it's so, I don't know. What's
you take
the word?
A group of
softened.
Junior high boys. And you play a game with who can make the funniest skit, you know, or whatever. And all the girls are going, oh, this is so awesome. And they're making up a skit. And you look at the pile of boys, the group of boys over in the corner, and they're like staring at each other or starting to punch each other. And you're wondering, like, because boys are like, I'm like, okay, this group of boys, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do a wrestling match, and we're going to do this for 5 minutes, and we're going to have a blast. And the boys are like, yeah, bring it on, right? And so we, if we're going to bring men and boys into this circle that we do think they are extremely valuable, we do yeah. think the home is an extremely valuable place for the men to be, we have to speak. Not that we don't do female language, but we have to speak male language. Otherwise, the men are going, this is weird.
Okay. So I totally agree. And that is why this week in Synergy, we are bringing a tug of war rope that's literally this thick.
Man, this is going to be awesome.
And you had to carry it because I could not pick it up. It is like, so we are talking about good and evil, and we're doing tug of war.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like.
Speaking the men's language.
Yeah. And again, like. This lesson at the end of that will be the same lesson. But how we grab their attention to say, oh, I'm interested, is going to be very different. Yeah. So if we shut them off before they even walk in the door, we have lost the opportunity. And so that's a lot of what the language thing is like, man, we've got to keep this open, and we got to know who our audience is. And we believe that men are equally as valuable to the home and the family and the marriage as the ladies are. And so that means in my and my work and in my approach and in my opinion, I'll say we got to speak to men.
Yeah. And that's why.
So what are we going to do?
This is why when we do marriage retreats, you're like, icebreaker.
Let's do an icebreaker game where we all go over and see whose birthday was on. And I'm going, oh my gosh. How about we just do an icebreaker where we all break up and men go talk about the last animal they killed?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Before we get to the huddle and how to resolve an impasse or a conflict in your marriage, or really this could be for coworkers, it could be with friends, it could be with your adult children. Like this tool we're giving today is really going to be, I think, valuable for any impasse or conflict that you come across with somebody that you're in relationship with, or maybe the relationship is strained because of this conflict. So, but before we do, we need to thank our sponsors.
Yeah. So let's thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for, by the way, two very manly companies. Right. We just want to thank those guys for believing in the mission of families and marriages and keeping the community strong and healthy. And so for that reason, they have joined alongside of Rock Solid Families and helped us support this mission. So we want to thank those guys. And so anything that you can do to thank them for their sponsorship, we would greatly appreciate it. Yeah. So go down there and give them some of your business.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about an impasse and how to get through those difficult impasses in our marriage. And so one of the things we had mentioned is really coming together and having some intentional, maybe even longer conversation with your spouse. And so right away, I hear people saying, well, I can't even sit down with them. Like, we can't even be in the same room together. And so that's why we're really going to help you walk through step by step when you come to really, an unresolvable situation that you both are digging your heels in and say you're right. And so we got to understand, hon, the emotion behind that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've done lots of shows on emotion and that kind of thing. And when we are at an impasse, the impasse creates this tension. Oh, things aren't going my way, or I'm getting confused. And so right away, whenever you get out of your place, your zone that you like to exist, it creates an emotional stir. And that right there, if I don't recognize that, you're going to go down into a survival mode, which is very like defensive, dig your heels in, stubborn, bullheaded. These are all the phrases that come. And we know now that when we are in that impasse zone, that we've already invoked the emotions.
Yeah.
And guys, so first and foremost, you have to recognize I'm getting mad. I'm getting frustrated. I'm ticked off. You know, I'm hurt. Like, these are some things that we have to learn. So, hon, we did we've done multiple shows. But so part of you recognizing your emotions is we did a show. I think it was episode, was it 207?
No, 213 was the fire alarms.
Well, that's fire alarms and fire drills, right? Okay? And so that is one where we talk all about the idea of, okay, the alarms are going off, and now what are you going to do to calm yourself, okay?
Right.
And so we would recommend you go back and listen to episode 213, just because that could be a show. That was a show in and of itself.
Yeah, that talked about really recognizing the emotion, when you need to call a timeout, and do your fire drill, something you've already planned to do when you, the emotion gets stirred. But, you know, yes, you were, I think, referring to the other one where we really talked about those essential needs that are the underlying thing. You know, you're not really arguing about the car or about Thanksgiving. You're really arguing about something deeper, something, a need that's not being met.
Yeah. So we talk about, so that's episode 207, and this is the emotional needs. And so that's, I know that when I'm at an impasse, it is touching on an emotion, an emotional need that's not being met the way I desire it to be met. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then that's kind of what we're talking about. Everybody has their own way. And so we have to understand that. And we did, we talked about blue pants, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the, that was only about a month into our marriage.
And luckily.
Yeah. Well, because if that would have not been discovered, discovered in the sense of we thought we were arguing about blue pants. And it took a long drive home for us to calm down, okay? And then we were able, without the training, but with like, well, we got to get through this, with us to be able to say, what was the real thing that we were, that was bugging us, that were we being hurt on or whatever? And that's when we were talking about, well, I feel disrespected, or I feel like you're trying to control me. And so these are these emotional needs. And so most of the time when we're at an impasse, we think we're arguing or having differences about, well, what are we doing for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how much money should we spend on this? And those are definitely things we're going to get to, but I have to understand what my need was.
Right. What nerve is it touching?
Yeah.
So we want to give you some guidelines to create a huddle. Okay. And we'll explain what that looks like in a second. But first, you got to pick a private time and place for just the two of you. You don't want your mother-in-law weighing in on the conversation or your kids. Oh,
that would be good.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that would go well. Or, you know, distractions of the kids in the room and trying not to cry or trying not to raise your voice because, you know, someone else is around. So you want to pick a private time and place where you feel safe to really be vulnerable and open up.
Yeah. Well, you use the phrase huddle. And so, you know, especially when your back's against the wall, and I'm thinking about a huddle in a football game, you know, sometimes when things aren't going well, I've often said, you know, on my Strong Dad show, the best way to beat your opponent is to get the opponent fighting within themselves. Mm. And so if the other team is going back into their huddle and they're fighting amongst each other,
ooh, you're going to win.
Yeah. So then the team, in this case, the enemy is Satan. Mm-hmm. The enemy is Satan. And so if we are fighting, if you and I are fighting amongst ourselves, Satan's back there going, oh, this will be an easy one.
Yeah, okay? This is exactly what
I want. So the huddle means we have to have a means to pull people together and say, okay, wait, who's the enemy? Who's the opponent? We're on the same team.
Yeah, that's really important. And then when you go into that huddle, to be open and ready to listen with your heart, and you're literally going to, and you've said this before, hon, in your couple sessions, like, I want you to hold your partner's heart in your hands. I don't want you to step on it. I don't want you to ignore it, throw, you know, acid to it. Like, you want to hold it in your hands and be ready to listen with an open heart.
It's hard to do when you're all fired up, right? Even those of us who know about this, man, when your emotions are fired up, you can quickly go back to resorting to, well, what about me? What am I thinking? Yeah.
So you're going to not get defensive, okay? Because that really shuts down the conversation when you start blaming, when you start minimizing, when you start rationalizing. You know, you're going to sit there and not be defensive. And keep asking clarifying questions in a non-defensive tone. So help me understand. Tell me more. You know, where did that come from? Like, when did that start? How does that make you feel? We're going to give you some specific questions, but you've got to, if you quit the conversation early and just get mad, it's almost like you're this little kid on the playground who doesn't get to play the game they want to play. So they take their ball and they go home.
That's right.
Like, I'm not getting my way, so I'm leaving. And man, we are doing that way too much. Don't quit before you really give this a chance.
Yeah, that might look like silent treatment. We're no longer talking. We're shutting down from each other. So that's a very dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
You know, hon, sometimes us men have gotten a kick out of when they mic up the quarterback in a football game. And when they mic up the quarterback, if you've ever had an opportunity, and all of a sudden they come into the huddle, it's really interesting. You can tell who the commander is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the quarterback, and that's an assigned role that he has. But it's interesting because he'll come in and he knows that the guys, even whether they've just made mistakes or whatever on the last play, this is not the time to do the beatdown of your own players. And so you'll hear him say like, okay, so-and-so, like, okay, what happened there? How can we do it differently? And quickly they'll get, they can't all be talking over each other.
Yeah.
And they'll listen. Okay, all right. And then he calls the play.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to watch a well-run offense, how they operate in the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
In the huddle, so that they can kind of read each other's minds.
Yeah. So be willing to receive what is said, okay? Especially, you know, if you are the listener, be open and willing to change. That's really critical that you go in with the right mindset, with the right heart, because the goal is for both of you to feel heard and understood. But what we're doing in our world today is we're talking over each other. We're not taking the time to listen and reflect back what that person said and how that made them feel. We're just literally coming back with a quick response, sometimes cutting them off before they even finish their sentence. And I know I am guilty of this. And so it's really hard, but it has to be one at a time for that other person to feel like you're sitting in that emotion with them, those feelings. So stay away from fixing or blaming or quitting and running away.
Yeah, that dissension is that caused by that need to be right, heard, that self-righteousness. And so in our last show, when we just introduced the idea of the impasse, we talked about the whole idea of argument and the idea that when we're in that argument, it's a my win versus our win. You know, my mindset is, well, if I were in the huddle and I had the receiver going, well, I'm not going to be happy until I get the ball,
thrown
to me, because I want to make the next touchdown, versus, okay, well, what would be the best thing for our team? And so it's very hard to realize that I got to have a view from the best thing for the marriage. And so when you're fighting for your own way, you got to be careful. You're in a state of self-righteousness oftentimes.
So I hope you'll take a piece of paper. And as Merle mentioned before, in episode 207, we really did kind of unpack and dive deep into those eight essential needs. But I want to run through them again because I want them to be in the back of your mind when you're arguing about blue pants like we were, or arguing about what you're having for dinner, or who's in charge of getting up early and driving the kids. Like, what's really at the core of the argument. So remember, it is love and respect, control and trust, purpose, security, affection, and faith. I'll say those again.
Yep.
Love and respect, trust and control, purpose, security, affection, and faith. Now, depending on who you talk to, their list will be a little different, but we've really boiled that down to, man, one of these is probably being neglected, or, you know, that person doesn't feel like they have that going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, there can be different verbiage, but these are the basic things that come down to this. And so knowing what your need level is in those areas is important. So here's where we often get into trouble on those. We assume that everybody knows our need level, and then we assume that everybody should be operating at the same need level as us. And so we use the example in the last show about calories, right? One person needs 2,000 calories, another person needs 3,000 calories. Which one is right? Well, neither. They're
just
right
different
for them. And so when people are not being met at that need level that they have, it creates a tension.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we're going to ask you to do, and we do this with all our couples, and it's crazy how much it's ignored until they realize how important it is. And that's just a daily dialogue, right? Like spending that time and really helping the partner feel heard and understood. But this is really going to be an intentional time.
Yep.
This is going to be an extended time. So we're talking at least 10, 15 minutes per person, where that person is just going to be the speaker. They're just going to be able to get it out. They're just going to be able to get it off their chest. But we're going to do it in a way that uses I statements. This is how I feel, okay? We can't use you, okay? We're going to really focus on how this makes me feel and what I think about it. So this is where we sit in those emotions with our partner. So at least 10 minutes per person, but we want to give each person a chance to talk and be the speaker, but it's one at a time. And so you're going to really decide versus like who's going to start being the speaker, who's going to be the listener, and really the questioner. You're going to ask a lot of questions to try to get clarification and get specific as to how they're feeling and why.
So I just want to be cautious about the 10 minutes per person.
We're not saying you have to put a stopwatch.
We're not timing it. Okay. I would say it's more of the time that you need to express what you have. Yeah. Okay. And we have to be cognizant of when we, if we've talked for 30 minutes and our partner has glazed over and they're done, that didn't help, right? Mm-hmm. Or if we just gave short 5-second answers, yes, mm-hmm. no, that didn't help. So it takes that time. And so the right time is based off a lot of the personality and what is my message. And so we like to say, just set apart 10, 15 minutes, okay? Right. But we're not timing this per se.
Yeah, but the reason why I give that time frame is that, you know, like you said, it can't be a 30 second,
right.
Okay, well, good. You feel good? You feel better? You know, and it can't be an hour where that person feels, oh my gosh, when is it going to be my turn? You know, I'm dying in here. So you got to know and read your audience and understand like, okay, they are feeling overwhelmed or they have drained out. Like I just did a book study with a group of women on trust. I love that book by Dr. Henry Cloud. And he talks about bleeding out the emotion. Like it's stuck in there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to feel heard and understood, we have to bleed out the emotion in a respectful way to really get it out so it doesn't just really keep welling up and you triggering it in daily. So the first thing is, as one person is a speaker, the other person is the listener who's asking questions, okay? And really just trying to gather as much information and understanding as they can. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, the second thing then is, and this is the training of becoming a true listener, because oftentimes when our partner's talking, our brain is spinning into what will my response be? What could I tell them? You know, and so I'm detaching from the actual listening process then. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a reflection back. And that would be Linda's telling me stuff that happened through that day or how she feels about something. And rather than me adding to what she did or felt or whatever in any way, I'm going to just sit back and I'm going to say, okay, so I hear you saying this, and I, in my own words, I'm not going to mimic what she said. So you said, and I'm not going to repeat word for word. I'm going to show that I've internalized it and put it out and how I would recognize it. Okay, so man, all these things that happened to you today, gosh, you were overwhelmed with all of this. And now it seems like you're, and I'm going to reflect back how I actually think she's feeling, because this is where my partner says, yeah, you got me. All right. And you'll get that in a session, right? And when we actually do this in a session and you say, well, here's, it seems to me like you're really feeling like this. And, and they'll go like, man, that is spot on. And they feel now heard and understood. And so you're going to reflect back to them what you heard them say, but then also a clarification of how you think they're feeling. And that's that going to the next part of you're catching the empathy side of it.
Yeah. So do your best to show empathy and validate the person that's speaking to you, okay? If you can just sit close to them, even touching, man, I love it when I have a couple sitting on the couch and one of them is sharing something really hard, right? Even if it was an argument and there's tears or you can see the voice quivering and the other partner will just reach out and touch their arm or put their arm.
You want to touch my arm right now?
Yeah, I want to touch your arm right now. And it's like, oh man, like that is a connector, right? Like that's showing, I hear you. I see you. This is hard. But hun, even better than trying to figure out the emotion, I would love it even if you would ask another question, because again, this is all listening, of how did that make you feel? Like asking them, because sometimes part of the healing process is the speaker actually saying how that made me feel. And sometimes the impasses come because you've done a lot of assuming. You kind of know already what I feel and what I'm doing. And so when you sit in that and really get clarification on what did that do to you? How did that make you feel? Man, they're like, you really care? You really want to know? Because you always kind of assume you know, but like it really even sits better if you just spend a lot more time slowly unpacking what's going on inside them.
Yeah. Let me just, for the sake of clarification of what you're saying there, oftentimes we see invalidation. So you just talked about the importance of validating. And invalidation might look like this. Your partner is talking and you're going, you know, I think you're overreacting to that. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't know why you go down that road, honey. Okay. And so right there, it's dismissive or invalidating. I've been very guilty of that myself, and because you're not ready to go down that way. Right. And so you're still having your level of defenses up. And so sitting back and, as you said, hon, validating where your partner is.
Yeah. So again, you know, we also want to try to stay focused on a topic. Okay. Let's be clear about what we're talking about. So let's say that there keeps being a lot of reaction over the holidays coming up, which
okay, you're going to give us an example. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, they're coming up. So for instance, we disagree on what we're going to do for Thanksgiving. Okay. And you can see it's, you're kind of triggering each other. You're kind of pushing a button and you can see the reaction. And so here's a great way to start the huddle and just say, hey, it sounds like we've got some disagreement with Thanksgiving. How about we go into a huddle and talk about it? Okay. That means we're going to time out what we're doing. We're going to go somewhere private. We're going to really be intentional and work through this impasse of Thanksgiving.
And guys, what typically would happen is you would notice that there's an impasse and you would randomly try to solve it by, well, we're just driving in the car and doing chores and duties. And instead, we never actually make it a priority. And so we come, this impasse really just gets more stuck because we don't feel heard. We don't feel like, well, they don't get me.
Yeah. Right? And it's really not about Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
It's not about Thanksgiving. It's maybe feeling disrespected that it's always your family and never mine. Maybe it's control because you make the call and I don't get an input. Maybe it's that you feel unloved, that you don't want to be with my family. So whatever it is, like that's the core that we want to get to. It's not about where we're going to eat turkey.
Right.
And that's where we want to really unpack that and kind of peel back the layers of the onions to get to the core of it.
Yeah. So this would be, you know, help me understand where you're struggling, where you think that I'm missing this. And that's where you will start to use words, the emotional descriptive words that we talked about. That's where you might say, like Linda just said, you know, I feel like you're just disrespecting me in this decision. Okay. And so now we're no longer talking about turkey. Now we're talking about a respect or disrespect issue.
Yeah. So let's say that you kind of think that's the way. And so I can either say, yes, that's how I feel, or I might have something else. Maybe it's not a disrespect issue at all. But then your next question is, what do I do that makes you feel that way? Now, again, it's so important that you don't come off defensive. Like, well, what do I do? Like, tell me. Like,
tone means everything, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And body posture, you know, if you're kind of crossing your arms and not even looking at them, you know, if you touch their arm and say, help me understand when I make you feel disrespected, or what do I do that makes you feel that way? And man, that just... man, that opens up your partner's heart to, okay, you do hear me. You do care.
You know, somewhere in there, hon, I also see, I mean, if you really want to quickly get to this level in the impasse resolution, to let your partner know that you're resolving or giving up the idea to be right, to get your way. And we talk oftentimes that this is where you come into this huddle space and you say, all right, so I'm just going to apologize. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry. Right. And it's not a sorry, like, oh, I messed up again. It's a sorry of, yeah, I could feel I put you in a bad spot and it's not where I want to put you. And so I'm just sorry for that. And right away, it's an ownership, right? It's an ownership. And so you can drop down your defense, like, I'm going to have to make my case because here he's now listening, but I got to make my case. But the idea that I've said, you know, I'm sorry for putting us in that, what, you know, how did I actually make you feel?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Even if there is a quick resolution and, you know, somebody's apologizing or owning it, okay, or offering a compromise, really, this is an important exercise to still do. It really is. Because sometimes we as the speaker don't even know how we feel and how it's presenting. And so, man, hun, one of the most powerful things I do with clients is I say, how are you feeling right now? And sometimes I'll say it, ask it in the beginning, or sometimes I'll ask it in the end. And some of the words that they come up with, some of the feeling words that they share with me, I would have never guessed that. Mm-hmm. And I'll even say, like, wow, so you feel horrible about that. What is it that makes you feel so horrible? Because, man, maybe what I asked and how I asked it came off judgmental, right? Or condemning. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I want to get clarification in that. Like, I want them to understand, like, I never meant this to come off attacking, right? Mm-hmm. But that's how they felt. And they really maybe would have never said that unless I asked them, like, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, you have to be willing to open that door to that.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, when you sit in those emotions and then you unpack them, like, have you felt horrible before? Have you felt judged and condemned before? Like, maybe is this a trigger of something that you felt as a child? Because man, sometimes we have no idea the visceral reaction that we're having. And we talked about that last week in our show of it really, it's not just what you said today. It's that triggered something I used to get all the time from my dad, you know, and that is what we got to start realizing, because this isn't about a win or lose situation in the battle. This is about a win for the marriage and a growing of ourselves that we start to really understand, why am I feeling this way? Why am I getting so worked up about Thanksgiving? Well, it's not about Thanksgiving. It's about how my life always felt like I never had a say. So this is where I ask the question as the listener. So what is the beliefs that you feel about it when I say this, or when you would hear this from your dad? Like, what's the lie maybe that you told yourself? And man, is that a powerful question? I will oftentimes, especially in women, get just tears start to fall. I've always felt like I'm not good enough. Or I always felt like no one cared.
Yeah. Let me interject on that, because you're spot on with that. And I'm hearing that, like, you and I do this for a living, and so we can go down those roads, I'd say, fairly comfortably. Many couples would be like, oh, wow, what did I
just opened up Pandora's box.
I opened up Pandora's box, and I don't know how to close this up. And so when you can see, so like maybe we were talking about Thanksgiving, right? And we thought we were talking about Thanksgiving, but actually we realized, like, no, every time we come into this season, it reminds me of this, and I get on edge, and, you know, this is what happened years ago. This might be a time where we work through the current event. But this would be a time too where you say, gosh, you know, I've never really dealt with this triggering mechanism that was created 20 years ago. And so this is a sign that, you know, we're going to move that to the side right now, and we're going to deal with whatever we have right there on the table. But this is a sign where we go, you know what, I my hair stands up on end whenever this comes up. And so it's time to unpack that. And it may be your partner who can help you unpack that, or it may not. And so that's where professionals come in, right? But it's a good point. And so that would come up, like, I would recognize that as patterns, right? If I've had a pattern of getting on edge on certain things, and it's pretty predictable, well, here comes Thanksgiving, I know we're going to have this situation again. That pattern suggests to us that there's something deeper seated. Right?
And that could be a whole nother huddle time where you talk about growing up and feeling unheard. And so maybe you sit in that with your speaker and your listener, and man, does that really heal some wounds? And if you have a partner or a friend or, you know, a parent that can really get into that, you know, we've got three children who have come out of the foster care system, and we know there's deep, deep wounds there. And so sometimes we will hit a sore spot or trigger an emotion, and we can see that it goes deeper than just what we're dealing with right now. And so we've got to help our friend or partner, whoever, really understand and feel heard. So one of the final questions that you can ask in this huddle time after you kind of help them express those emotions, validate their feelings, kind of go back to see if they felt that way before or an earlier time and what lies they believe because of those situations. Then kind of circle back around to today and that time of that person and say, what can I do to help? What do you need from me right now? And man, I love that question on a daily basis. You know, when you say that to me, when I feel stressed or overwhelmed or upset, that just melts me. Because what you're saying is, I'm going to put my needs above yours. I'm going to, as much as I can, again, they may be saying, you need to sell this house and move to Florida. Well, that might not happen today. Okay. But to say, like, what can I do to help you right now? And they may not have an answer. Right?
Yeah. So, and hear what Linda just said, guys. The knee-jerk reaction from many of us might be, well, here, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not at all what Linda just said, right? She does, as we become adults, we really want to be in charge of our own path forward because we process things different, right? There's more than one way to skin a cat, is the old saying. And that idea is your solution may work, but if it doesn't process well through my mind, I need to use my solution if it's effective and can work. And so this is what Linda just said there is the listener is just repeating back the idea of, so what can I do to help you? Okay. That keeps the speaker in charge of what they need to be in charge of, their own way forward. Remember, Lynn and I, in the counseling world, we do not solve people's problems. What we do is provide an avenue for them to solve their problem. We try to open that up to say, okay, so what could you do? What could happen? And so it's very, very important. And by the way, this transfers over into your kids. When your kids start to get to middle school and high school level, as parents, oftentimes you want to give them advice. And this is a time where you should really start transitioning into, so what could be done? Okay. Right? And put them in charge of their problem solving. It empowers them. Right. And in a marriage, both people have to feel equally empowered.
So once you ask that question, how can I help? What do you need from me? Then summarize back. So, okay, I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. So you really don't want a solution. You just wanted to get it off your chest. Yeah. I feel better. Okay. Then you don't have any action steps, okay? Maybe they're saying, I really feel like I deserve an apology, okay? Now, again, this is not time to get defensive and kind of jump to your guns. Like, so what I hear you say is you really just want some ownership from me that I, like, I had a say in this or a part of this. And then, you know, again, you're going to get your time in the huddle, okay, where you're going to be the speaker. So don't jump to any conclusion or problem solve. Just hear them what they're asking from you. And then you turn into the speaker, okay? And then that person and that through the questions they're going to ask, you're going to have a chance to say what you want, okay, and what you need and what you think happened and how that made you feel. And then at the end, they're going to ask that question. And you're going to sometimes find that, you know, okay, I feel better. I'm good.
Well, I've been heard and I've been understood. And I there's very good on there, the idea that because as we talked through there, we just did a speaker and a listener, but those roles will switch within that time. Because sometimes if you're just a listener, you may start to feel a little bit attacked. Well, I guess I don't do anything right. And that's not...
I need my two cents.
And again, that's why we start with an apology. We say, hey, I'm here for the long haul. I'm here to have a mind for negotiation and compromise for the good of the family win or the marriage win. And so once you flip the roles, man, the responsibility, the roles of responsibility also flip. So now that speaker has to go, okay, I need to hear you.
So here are some of the things that can come out of a huddle, okay? Sometimes, you know, offer what you'd be willing to do as a solution. So maybe they say, they suggested something. And so you can respond then and say, I'd be willing to do that, you know, or I can't do it every night, but I'd be willing to do it three nights. Would that be okay? So you're offering a compromise. Maybe it is an apology.
Right.
Like, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that hurt you. I just had a client the other day. She was so proud of herself because she had been carrying a lot of this anger and resentment toward somebody else. And that person had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to this person and she asked to talk with them. And so she went through what happened and how that made her feel. And that person said, I am so sorry. I had no idea. And what do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you just did.
Mm-hmm.
You just acknowledged that it was wrong and it hurt me, and that's all I needed. But she'd been carrying around this weeks, right? So, you know, maybe it's just a reassurance from your partner that this is a difficult season. Holidays are hard. It mm-hmm. triggers old emotions, and that, you know, you love them and you want to hear them and you want to comfort them. And so, you know, let that be something where you just reassure that person, like, I love you and I hear you and I see you.
I've got your back through this.
Yeah.
You know, so these are the parts of the huddle. If you're willing to go into a huddle, you have to go to a next level of understanding of where the potential downfalls could mm-hmm. come, okay? The huddle is all about forming a trust.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we're coming together as a team. We're identifying the true enemy, okay? Yeah. And it's not within us,
yeah.
okay? And so in that huddle time, you're really building trust. That's mm-hmm. what it's about right there, okay? If we did a huddle and we all said, okay, ready, break. That was good. We're all good. We're all on the same page. And then all of a sudden the quarterback ran a completely different play.
You wouldn't want to get back in that huddle.
You absolutely destroyed trust. And so, yeah. guys, when you jump in, if you're going to make the commitment to say, we want to do this better, then this is the long-term resolve mm-hmm. that you have to have. Hey, if I'm going to come in here, I cannot say, yes, we'll do this, I'm good, and be affirming and all those things, and then step out and do my own thing
yeah.
or do what I've always done. That is rogue, and mm-hmm. that is destructive, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is so important that if you're going to agree in that huddle, that this is, we're not expecting perfection, guys, because
right.
we default to certain things and habits, all right? What we're saying is okay, I've committed to this play, to this mm-hmm. way. And I can't not ignore it and just go back to my old way. Because that's where that's where you get a couple that says, yeah, well, I don't think it'll ever change now because we've been doing this for 10 years. And he's told me all the right things.
Yeah.
She said all the right things. But this is what we continue to get. So now I don't trust that they could actually change.
Yeah. But if you sit in that huddle, you hear what they need, and you're willing to do something, okay, like you said, hon, then you better follow through with it.
Yep.
Because you are going to break that trust, and you're going to take 5 steps back. So I think as you were talking, hon, in that huddle, like, you are actually creating those essential needs. Like, you're fulfilling those essential needs.
Yep.
That person feels loved and respected that you took the time and you were willing to listen. They feel safe, right?
Yep.
And they start to trust you again. They feel like, okay, we're just not rattling words. We're literally getting to somewhere with a purpose, you know? And again, if you could hug that person at the end or kiss that person at the end or touch their leg.
You've done that twice during the show here.
Touch that leg or that arm while you're talking. There's an affection there, an intimacy that builds. Man, and if you can invite God in, and by the way, one of the coolest things about a huddle is if at the end you could embrace and that you could pray together
mm-hmm.
and ask God to really heal whatever that was that you just talked through. Like, if you could ask God's help to follow through with what you say you were gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that is just incorporating all those essential needs and really just building and growing your relationship. But you're right, hon, you can't go out and go rogue, because I see that in leadership. You know, when leadership comes together, whether it be in a company or a school or a church or a family, and they come together and they have this huddle and then they go out and do their own thing or ignore what was just said or done,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're just spit in the wind.
Yeah. Well, you know? I'm not going to do this again. You don't listen to me. You know, you do your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, hon, just quickly, as we get ready to wrap things up, you talked about the idea of at the end, you can embrace, but you can finish this with a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go down that road for a second. Well, why would you do that? You've come through all of this talk, But that prayer is now a confession before God. Okay. It is, we've joked before, like, you know, I might lie to a lot of people, but I'm not lying to God. Okay. Because, it, you know, like there's something deeply wrong with spitting in God's face. And so, you know, when you two have come together and then you seal it with God, you, I mean, that is kind of like, that's why, you know, when we swear an oath, we put our hand on the Bible. You can say you're going to do this, but until you swear under God that this is what you're going to commit to. And so that's the purpose of that prayer, that we just didn't have this huddle talk, but then we blessed it or asked for it to be blessed through God's word. And so now we're both committed. Guys, remember the triangle, right? We're both committed to God above. And that's not one I want to lie and mess around with. So that's where that prayer comes in to say, I'm in. I'm committed under God's eye.
Even if you don't do this extended huddle time, we do encourage 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes every day, just talking. And when that person feels heard and understood, and you and I go to prayer every night together before we go to bed, and sometimes you will incorporate things in your prayer, or I will, that we talked about, like, God, Merle's really stressed today about, you know, this thing at work today. Lord, bless him tomorrow. Be with him as he deals with that situation. What that says to Merle is, I heard you today.
Right.
I heard you today and I care about your stress or the difficult decision you have to make. And so that is just so powerful to keep building and building that empathy and feeling that trust and building that intimacy together. So guys, it is possible. It is possible. And the huddle is one tool that we just encourage you to give a try.
Lots of parts to it, right? You got to do some pregame planning, but these are things that go into the marriage. And ultimately, guys, pass this stuff on to your kids, right?
Yeah.
This is a long-term play for them as well. Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We're gonna do a break and break this huddle, okay? And so again, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Maxwell Construction and Casey's Outdoor Solutions. Guys, if there's anything that we can help you out with, if you are at that impasse, if you feel like, man, I'm never being heard and now I'm pretty broken, reach out. You can reach out to us at rocksolidfamilies.org, or you can give us a call, 812-576-ROCK, or that's 7625. Guys, don't sit at the impasse, because it's a guaranteed loss. Sitting there while the other while the enemy is playing is not going to help you.
Stonewalling is what we often call it.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much for listening to the Rock Solid Families podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day.
Break. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.